Hey guys, it's Jessica, founder of Noonday Collection. Welcome to the You Matter podcast. On this podcast, I want you to get ready to be inspired to be more courageous and to own your worth. Get ready to feel connected to the artisan community and to the community where you have a place of belonging, the ambassador community. Because the truth is, you matter, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome to the conversation. Everyone, this is Katie McCauley, your community manager, and today I'm sitting down with a few guests that I'm so excited to hear from today. So we have Jessica Honiger, who you all know and love. We also have Jessica Godot, who founded Hill Tribers here in Austin 8 years ago. And we also have Hella Pa, who works in our warehouse here at home office. And she's been with Noonday for almost 2 years, I think it's a year and a half. And she actually worked for Hill Tribers before Noonday. So a really cool connected story. And I know, Jessica Honiger, you had a really fun fun memory to share. And if you want to hop into that.
So, okay, I didn't know I was going to tell you all this part. But I'm actually pulling the trigger and I'm going to start writing a book. So that just happened.
Congrats. That's big news.
So I have to sort through the past 5 years of like emails and stuff I've written already and all that kind of stuff. So I was sorting through this morning and I came across a prayer I had written in 2011. So, you know, right before even Travis was my business partner. In fact, that was what the prayer was about. It was like, should I do it or not? And I wrote on here, it's even before we knew Jack. We used to call, before we adopted Jack, we thought his name was going to be Samuel. So it says, Noonday. I literally started Noonday on a whim to raise money for Samuel. I didn't think about long-term goals, what would happen after all the money was raised. What do you want Noonday to be? The dream is big, but I want to know it's your dream too. The dream would be for Noonday Collection to be the world's leading. This makes me cry. I'm also not feeling good today, so I'm extra sensitive. The dream would be for Noonday Collection to be the world's leading handmade fair trade direct sales company. The dream would be for Jalia to lead a movement in Uganda of women who are discipled and trained, earning a sustainable income by producing our goods. It would be to offer refugees here the chance to use their skills and earn a living wage. It would serve as a platform, as a voice for the orphan, a place where women here can have a business as ministry to women in their own sphere. So anyway, sorry I'm crying, but I just happened upon this this morning, and the refugee piece stood out to me because y'all were one of my first suppliers, Hill Tribers was. You know, I was just starting to sell items from Uganda and then had found some other artisan groups and then got connected to you, Jessica. And it gave me a real passion for refugees here in America. And it's interesting because that was part of the dream, and yet it didn't pan out the way we thought. And yet it has panned out in a much better way, which y'all are going to hear about today from Hella, that work for refugees in America. It's better to have, you know, full-time work with health insurance than artisan work if you're living in America. But I didn't know that at the time. So, Jessica, why don't you just kind of share the whole, you know, the story and how it began and then sort of where it is now. And then maybe you can kind of help us ask Hella the questions, too, that'll draw out her story.
Well, Hella is my first refugee friend, and it is a really – it's a fun story. So, Hella, you – first let's tell the story of how we met each other. And then we can talk a little bit about Hill Tribers, want to? So Hella and I, my husband Jonathan and I speak Spanish, and we were originally with our church working with a group of people handing out pamphlets about healthcare when all of these Burmese refugees walked into this field, and it was so unexpected for us. So I had worked with people in Thailand and knew about Hill Tribe groups, but had no idea why in the middle of Austin, Texas, all of these refugees were here. So the very first friend I made was Hella, who was pregnant with her son and had two daughters. My now third grader was a baby. And we just walked around this event together and had a really good time and became friends.
Yes.
When what I didn't know about Hella's story is kind of where she was in the process. So you'd been here 6 months?
Wow, only 6 months.
Yeah, when I met you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, only 6 months. That day, maybe Halloween day.
It was like right after Halloween, wasn't it? Yeah.
The Halloween day, yeah. We live apartment close by the church, and when the Spanish lady come to me, you guys want to come, like, to get a food or something? I don't understand Spanish, and she just showed me the hand, you know, sign language, mm-hmm. and I called some of my friends, can we go check? And we go check, they have little, like, fun for the kid, like, game, you mm-hmm. know, like that, you know.
It was a fall festival.
Yeah, fall mm-hmm. festival.
I remember those yeah. fall festivals. Yes, I bet it was there, because Hope in the City, my church, remember with Megan, we came
mm-hmm.
and...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
No, that's that 6 years. No, not at that
one. But yes. We didn't. Yes. We hadn't met Megan yet, but Megan.
But we
came
start.
In, yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I met Jessica. Jessica speaks to me really Thai language. You know, uh-huh. a little bit, but I know a little bit also. When I met her, I feeling happy. You know, I do not have anybody. I don't know nobody there. We just come in. You know, also we do not understand English. You know, mm-hmm. and she talked to me and. Little bit Thai, she said, do you speak Thai? I said, a little bit. And she said, I'm speak Thai a little bit too. You know, they've been in Thailand before, and we started meet her over there. But it's big surprise for me, you know. Yeah. God gave me a lot of opportunity to get more friends, you know.
I'm not even sure how we were friends, because all I knew in Thai was, like, the bad Thai I remember from college.
I was going to say, like, wait, yeah. did you take Thai in college or just from
a
trip?
I lived in Thailand. Yeah, okay, I lived there for two summers. Okay. I like languages, so yeah. I picked up some things. But Hella's Thai isn't great, and my Thai is much worse than her Thai. Yeah. But she still didn't speak. She spoke a lot of English, but it was just learning.
Yeah.
We just sort of were friends because we wanted to be, not because we could even communicate, right? Yeah. And so Hella's family had only – refugees come and receive 6 months worth of, they get a stipend and they get support and they have everything that they need for 6 months.
6 months, yeah.
And literally, Hella's 6 months were up as I met her. And so
oh, wow.
The refugees, so several groups of refugees tend to do better, but the Karen refugees were really struggling because you guys didn't realize how all of this was going to work. It wasn't explained to you as clearly as it could have been. So all of a sudden, no money. No education, no food, stamps.
No, nothing.
Nothing had been set up yet, right?
The time I met you, also I cut out a full stack also. Mm-hmm. I'm pregnant my son maybe 3-4 months.
More than that, because he was born in May.
Also, I never been see doctor yet that time. Mm-hmm. Also, my Medicaid cut out, full stack cut out. My husband trying to go see the case worker. They say, we're trying to... applying for you guys, you had to wait a little longer, but we can't do anything. No food, no nothing, you know. And when
That's
I met
so
Jessica,
scary.
I talked to her, but my English not good, but she understood me. I showed my hand, everything.
We just laughed at each other.
And she's trying to help my family that time. Mm-hmm. She take me in a Walmart. She got like little, like when I need like food, like. Also, shoe for the kid, you mm-hmm. know, the Sprite for the house. And also, she's starting helping to apply the food stamp Medicaid. Mm-hmm.
Now, how long were you in a refugee camp in Thailand before coming to America?
I think it's going to be when I started come to the refugee camp, I'm only 5 years old.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, five years until you came to America, you lived in a refugee camp in Thailand.
You went back to Burma some?
Yeah, I went back when I'm maybe 13 something.
Okay.
She made the trek by 14, herself, trying to find
at
relatives. 13. And she had a friend of a friend. You want to tell them a little bit about it? Right? Like your friend of a friend heard that your mom was there and brought you back from Burma.
Oh, yeah. At that time, I go back. But when we live in the different refugee camp, not Melap. Right now, Melap. We live in Borno. They call it Borno. I live there. My mom and my dad, they broke up. Mm-hmm. They broke up, and I have one sister, one brother. Mm-hmm. We don't know where our parents, you know. My mom doesn't told us to. She gonna live out or she gonna go somewhere. My dad does told me also whether he can go. And I just find that I don't, and DC, then I go to my grandma's house. I said, oh, when my parents, oh, your mom already left, you're dead, they broke up, something. I don't know. And we started crying, we look at each other, you know. And I stayed with my grandma. After that, after like when a little grown up, I went back to the, I go back with my grandma in Burma, like 2 years, something like that. And when my mom friend come back there, they said, oh, I saw your mom in the Mela camp, something like that, you know. You want to come with me, you know, she's looking for you, and come back to the Mela camp.
So mm-hmm. So because someone said that they saw your mom, yeah, that's when you decided, I'm going to go find her.
So she went with a family friend to go find her mom.
Wow, at 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I come back, my mom got a new Mary. I stay mm-hmm. with them.
New husband. New sister. New babies.
Yeah. Yeah, probably I've been with my mom two years. Mm-hmm.
So she was at another refugee camp, or she was back in Burma?
She was in another refugee camp.
Called Mela. Mela refugee camp.
Okay. So Mela is the biggest refugee camp. It's the biggest one in northern Thailand. It's where most Karen Hill Tribe refugees are, right? In Mela. Not most, but it has the highest population of Karen. I think that's right. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she was in Mela camp. So Helipa made that trek, and then Heli got married at, how old were you?
18.
So she lived with her mom for, and then went straight to her husband's family's house, right?
Yeah, it's so young, you know. But I'm blessing, I got my good husband right now, yeah. But my life is so much poor about, you know, family stuff, you know, like everything, you know. My mom and husband, they're fighting a lot. My mom get out of the house, go back, get out of the house, go back, something like that, you know. We follow my mom. My mom come back in the house, we come back like that, you know.
So when you were living in that refugee camp with your husband, were you waiting to know if you were going to get then citizenship in some other country?
No, we did not think about that. We don't know nothing also, you know, what are we going to do our future? Mm-hmm. We doesn't know that. We just, like working every day for the family. We just know that. We never dreamed that also we're going to be here in the United States, you know. It's, United States is very big country, you know. A lot of people hold the world in the, they really want to come here. They really, you know, be the citizens here, you know. For us, we don't know anything. Also, we had little kid. Also, we don't know English, you know. We never dream we're going to be here. We just think about my husband and me. We just think like, oh, okay, we want to take care of our kid. Mm-hmm. Even we're here, we want to like make sure they're grown up, have good life, something like that. That's it we know, you know. But it's got blessing, you know, refugee a lot over there. They started calling people like who would like to come to United States, to the Norway, to the Australia. If you want to go, you have to apply and you have to interview, medical check, do everything. And when they approve you, you can come here. And some family, they started applying 4 months already. Like my sister-in-law, they applied before our family. My husband and me, we think, we talk about each other. We're like, okay, what can we do? You know, do we have to go or not? My husband, like, is our big dream. You know, a lot of people want to go. They doesn't have to go, but they not refugee there. You know, they did not have. They call UN picture or something approved. Are you refugee? And my husband said, if we go there, our children's life will be better. You know, they can decide what they want to be, you know. Mm-hmm. It's the big dream for us, too, you know. If we stay in the refugee camp, you stay in refugee camp every month, every day, you don't know nothing. Like, every twice a month, they come give you rice, bean, you know, chili, everything. You have to eat like that every day. Also, you cannot go outside. They borrow. When you go outside, you're not Thai citizen. Also, they catch you and they bring you back inside. Mm-hmm. You know, but a lot of people are trying to get out, find a job to make sure they get money for the family, you know, feed family, to family, grow family, something like that. But we do not try. We scared too, you know. And my husband said, it's okay. Pray to God, you know, if he said, I have to go there. We're going to pass. We're going to go. And we started trying to apply. And only one month, 2 months, we got everything done.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It's so quick. You know, some people, they had to wait a year, a 2 years, something like that. When they interview us, we just say blah, 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 blah. And it's quick, you know. We come early. And my sister-in-law, they're like, why are you guys so quick? You know, we started applying before you guys, you know, you get to go, you know, like. Yeah. Also, they ask what city you gonna go. We said we don't know anybody. I don't know what city, what state. You know, just send it. It'd be good for us something. I don't know. You know, but they sent out to the Austin.
They picked Austin.
Yeah, they call Texas.
Yeah,
and Texas we don't know. They give our paperwork TX. Mm-hmm. We thought taxi. A lot of when we go back home, hey, what country? You know.
Yeah.
You're going to go to taxi. Every time my husband and me, we talk about that, we're laughing really bad. You know? And we don't know, you know. They said, and taxi is really good. Why? Taxi is have the, like a lot of Christians.
Yeah.
And taxi, like, also they're really good, helpful. Yeah. Like a lot of church, you know, a lot of church here, they really take care. People are really good. They say that we're very happy, you know. That some of our friends, you're lucky, you're going to go to the Texas, you know.
Yeah.
Texas.
One of the things to notice about Helipa is miracles follow her.
Uh-huh.
And when miracles happen to her, they happen to the whole community. So it's not just, she's one of those people that when something good happens, it affects her sister-in-law and her friends. And so the entire community does well when Hella does well, right?
So you land in Austin, you are here for 6 months, you're thinking it was this, you had dreams about what America would be like, maybe back in the refugee camp, and then you're here, and then they're like, okay, now you're on your own, and that's when you met Jessica. And so your thoughts about meeting a church person came true, I guess, you met Jessica.
Tell them what you said. You talked to your kids sometime about that one day that you and I met. What do you tell your kids about it? Remember?
Oh, the...
Like, you told your kids a story about how we met when neither of us expected to meet the other person. It was a surprise.
Yeah.
But what happens? You turn the corner. Do you remember this? You've said this a few times. Like, when you turn the corner and God does something in your life, or you've said that, like, when you least expect it, God brings along just the right person.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I think
both of us feel that way about each other. Like, in just the right moment, God brought along this whole group of people that was very unexpected for us.
Yeah.
We Helipa had a lot of friends. Helipa's English was better than most of the other ones, and it was. She doesn't feel like it was very good.
Yeah.
It is very good. Hella has a lot of grit, and so even if she doesn't understand something, she's determined and will make herself understood, which is why she's learned English as well as she has, and why she's done so well because she can. She's a really hard worker. One of the first things that she and we, so we got to know each other. We bought some tutti. Her daughter only had sandals.
Mm-hmm.
We started saying, you know, let's be friends. What do you need?
Yeah.
And the first thing that came up were English classes. And I've taught ESL for years. Mm-hmm. And so we started a series of ESL classes. We thought it would be for women, and all the men and kids came. So we had family ESL class, which was really fun.
This fun,
It was fun.
I know.
We had a baby shower for Hella right before her baby came.
Oh, my God.
Remember
it's
that?
It made me very pride, you know.
It was so fun.
When I talked to my mother, I'm like, oh, my God, my son would be so lucky.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people bring me a lot of stuff. They almost filled my living room. You know, they brought
baby crib and all the
diaper,
stuff you needed.
Everything,
you
know.
We connected Hella with a church there that was able to help her get the food that they needed until they got food stamps. We did a lot of filling out forms.
Yeah.
We did Medicaid and food stamps.
Also, I'm so lucky when I'm pregnant myself, I don't know how to go to clinic, hospital to check out my baby, something like that. The lady just... Jill or something.
Yeah,
the lady. She's my mom. Also, you know, I think about her every time. You know,
well, that's part of it. Like, you had never had a child without your mom there,
right?
And so you're having a baby in a foreign country where you don't speak the language,
mm-hmm.
where people are really uninterested. Most people in your story,
yeah.
they just don't. They're like, okay, fine. And then you had this older woman that took you to your appointments, which was really like none
She's
of us could do it. She took every appointment. Jill
every
would
appointment.
Take you to the appointment, right? And she sat with you and was a mom to you, which was really
helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really sweet.
So tell us more than how then did Hill Tribers come in to play?
So that was originally, so I will say Hill Tribers is a fascinating example of this is not what I had in mind. And yet this is kind of what God does or what really came about. Mm-hmm. As we met this community, I feel really comfortable teaching ESL. I've taught ESL for years. Yes. So that was fine. So I'm in graduate school for literature at UT. That's what brought my husband and I to Austin. And with no intention of starting any sort of economic development project, we just got to know Helipa, and she said, let's do English. We're like, okay, we can handle one night a week. We can do ESL class. And the number one thing that kept coming up is there are a lot of stay-at-home women who need some kind of income. And what they're all good at is weaving. So they can weave these bags. They have scarves. There are some different things that they can make, and they would really like to sell their weaving. And so we began selling it to friends and just said, this is what they have at their house. Let's just sell what they have. Well, we ran out of the things that they had. So we had a carpenter replicate some looms. And so it's the backstrap looms that they use. And I know some of your ambassadors have been to Central America and seen those backstrap looms. And so a lot of them, when they left their huts, grabbed the loom and just a collection of sticks on their back. And that's what they had.
For the weaving, you know, the wire, everything. Mm-hmm. I communicate with you. Wow, something like that. Do like that.
Wow is how you. So that we learned a lot of weaving.
I remember
terms.
Why.
The stick, everything that for the weaving. You know, we doesn't have anything. And Jessica tried to understand and asked me, "Why do we need something like that?"
I don't know. What does that mean? Yeah, so we finally figured it out. And it doesn't, we have to get exactly the right. So we found a carpenter that replicated one woman's looms for the community. So we had several looms made. Yeah. I mean, they're just like the right size sticks, really. Yeah, and you have to, there's this whole setup process. And but we ran out of yarn. So we found a place in Maine for a while that made it and eventually found a place in northern Thailand. We figured out tack lots and jai, like the metric term, like whatever the Thai terms we would call them, order, like all this stuff and get these big boxes of yarn and pass it out to the community. Yeah. And then they would make products. And so for years, we had products being made out of weaving, scarves and bags and stuff like that.
They're so blessed everything. Yeah. Like they said, oh my goodness, it's amazing. We're going to get many. Also, they bring all the product they need. It's free, everything, you know. Jessica brought for them everything what they need, you know.
And we focused, our real focus was on, there were several women who were able to get jobs. So, they like Helipa would watch her neighbor's kids because her neighbor would go. So Helipa would make money babysitting and the neighbor would make money in her job. Right. And that worked for a few people, but it didn't work for everyone. So we focused on the older women who were not going to ever make jobs and would never learn English.
Yes.
Many of them can't read or write in their own dialect. They don't speak Burmese, much less. They speak Karen or Kareni. Or whatever their dialect is. Mm-hmm. And so they were never going to have a job in their home country. I mean, in this
in America.
And a lot of stay-at-home moms who had nursing babies. There was no one to provide childcare for three or four kids. And so there was no other option. So those were the women that Helipa connected us with. And so she would say, I have a neighbor and she needs something. And Helipa is a really gifted person.
Connector.
She's our connector.
Yeah,
so we worked with the people that were there as they came, the whole group of people left. We went to everyone's house. We knocked. How's it going? Helipa would be like, this is my friend. This is what she needs.
Yeah.
She needs a loom. She needs some yarn. And we would. She connected us with everyone.
So then you began to sell those products through your church, Fair Trade Market.
We did.
And really through your website.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We started our Fair Trade Market just to see. And did really well, and everything sold. And so then we started a website, and eventually for 5 or 6 years had a pretty good. We made over $130,000 for 30 women in that time. Maybe 150, I think, by the time it was done. Yeah. The whole goal for us was to keep it as small as it needed to be. So most of the women would do it for a little bit and then get a better job. So we did a lot of job placement and a lot of kind of training for really basic English skills. So that was really, our goal was not to help weavers weave in America. Our goal was to help people use what they had for a short period of time as they assimilated into a culture to get a good job. And so... So Helipa is kind of the success story. So we also had some women that did some jewelry that came along. So we had some different groups that came in. And so for a while we sold scarves, bags, jewelry. Yeah. But our whole goal was not to have a fair trade business. Our goal was to help these women. They were our clients, So for whatever they needed, we would do for that time period.
And so when did Noonday come into that picture?
Constance Dykhuizen.
Yes.
Said... I heard that there's a job at Noonday, and you need to apply for it. So,
well, I even mean before that, when we were actually, because we were purchasing a lot of
yeah.
the
crochet,
the bracelets, and the earrings.
So we, so we had two women that were Kachin. They were good at tatting, and they started making jewelry, tatted jewelry. And so that's right. We worked with Noonday for probably 2 years, making several different products. So they were probably about five women at one point in their homes making those products, all hand-tatted jewelry. And so
I think Joanna had even go there and help.
This is my favorite story. Joanna came over and had them do this design. And the women there, do you remember? This was at Hangnan's house. We were sitting in Hangnan's living room. Hangnan was a lead jewelry designer. She is very shy.
Yes.
She was talking about things, and you could tell she did not like what Joanna was having her do. And so when Joanna left, she said, "We're not going to do it that way." And we said, "You know what? This is what the designer has said, and if we're going to be a professional company, we need to do this." Well, Nong says, no, something. This is in their Kachin dialect. And I said, What does that mean? They said, no, something else. So a few minutes later, I said, this is just, I know this seems silly to you, but this is what crazy white girls are going to wear. Yeah. And she said, oh yeah, champro mañana. And I was like, what? That's the phrase you just said. So later, a week later, they said, no, something, champro mañana. And they were like, oh, I was like, you're talking about us. And they started laughing. So that's been their phrase for like, we don't understand why this would sell, but champro mañana. Yeah.
And it did.
And it works. It totally works. So they sold, hundreds of them. So
I heard Noonday starting there too, Jessica and Kostin talk about Noonday.
Yeah.
When the first year Jessica talked about me, Noonday too, do you hear about Noonday, they're pretty good about the woman doing stuff, something like that. I'm so excited over there, but
Well, Megan, so it was a friend that
that's
came
when it was basically just me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then maybe 12 ambassadors or something.
It was pretty, that's what, so our friend Megan, Jessica's friend Megan came to help with ESL classes.
And this is Tessa's mom.
Tessa's mom.
You guys, ambassadors listening to this, remember Tessa's story. She's my friend who adopted the child that is a triple amputee.
Mm-hmm. And Megan said, Megan worked with us at ESL. She's a very wonderful experience, much better than me, ESL teacher. So she was helping with our ESL classes for years. And she said, I've got this friend that has this big idea. You should meet her. So that's when we first met Jessica. Yeah. I think you sold products at ArtReach, like within the first few months of starting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then as it grew, partnered with us. So we thought originally we would collaborate with refugees making artisan products.
Right.
So we did for a couple of years, and that was really good.
Yes.
But then eventually the artisans wanted more full-time jobs.
Right.
And so all of the artisans got jobs, which was our goal. Our goal was to kind of help them get to the point where their families were sustainable and they didn't
need it. Came to a point where the products, it just wasn't sustaining enough of what a person needs here in America. And so at that point is when we started growing. And then you kind of reached out and said, what about, do you guys have jobs in your fulfillment where people don't necessarily have to have the best English, but if they work hard, they can be successful. And so that's kind of how we were able to weave that refugee impact back into Noonday in a way that really works better for everybody.
Yeah. Well, that's the part of it. That's one of the things. Fair trade is a great idea in a context in which the amount of money a person can make is actually a fair wage.
Right.
For us, for the amount of work that needs to be done here in the United States with the cost of living as high as it is, fair trade is always going to be complicated, especially for jewelry, right?
Well, and especially for hand weaving.
Any of those kind of artisan products, right? Actually, I think jewelry is probably better than weaving. But yeah, like any of these things that are going to, it takes a long time to produce this really intricate and beautiful thing.
Right.
It's difficult to do. And also, most people really just want a good job. They want to go off from 8 to 5 and have a job and come home and be with their families. And that's a more sustainable model. So one of the things we've really enjoyed is how Helipa and her sister-in-law Popi, who works here, and Ruby, who works here, have been able to really support their family. So tell them what happened.
They're so excited. They really love it. They're so blessed about it.
And what did your family just do? Where did you just move?
We moved our new house right now in December.
So she bought a new house. This has been her dream.
It is. I never dream, it's sometimes I dream something like that, When I started coming to United States, also, I never dream I'm going to get a house. I'm going to get a good job like that, When a long, long time ago, I'm feeling like not right now. My heart, my feeling is not right now. I'm feeling like I'm grown out of this really bad family, really bad everything, I'm feeling like I don't know nothing, I'm the one people is nothing, you know.
You felt unworthy.
Something like that. Yeah. I'm not important at people, something like that. I feel like that, you know. When I started coming to the United States, I just follow my husband. I dream about my kid. That's it for myself. I think I will be stay home, mom, something like that, forever, my life, something like that.
Even when you came here, yes. You weren't really dreaming.
Yeah.
No dreams for yourself. Dreams for your husband, dreams for your kids, yeah. No dreams for you.
I never think about that, you know. Yeah. When I met Jessica, also, Jessica, their friend, they talk, they teach not only like English, they teach English, they teach like how to stay to United States, how you need to be personal, like something like that, you know.
What kind of person you need to be to make it, right, right. Culture lesson.
Yes. Yeah, really. Every time when I have problem, I talk to her all the time. I talk to her, I'm feeling like that, I'm something wrong with me like that, you know. I talk to her and she trying to talk to me to how she can I do and how I'm feeling better, something like that. We talk each other.
Well, we've taught each other how to be strong women. Yeah. I think we talked, you say like I told you, but I think you told me how to be a strong woman.
Thank you.
So tell me about that process of, so you came to interview at Noonday Collection.
Yeah.
And so when you think about the last couple of years working now within fulfillment for Noonday Collection, what are some of the changes you've seen in yourself through having this kind of full-time
job? When I started coming interview, I did think I'm going to get a job here, you know. When I come inside, I'm feeling happy with something. What is the? I saw the picture. Before in this room, they put a picture. The woman, they wear like Andy and Guatemala, something. They wear clothes almost like our clothes.
Right.
The weaving clothes. I'm sorry. I saw that, whoa, this play will are gonna be made me warm. It would be perfect for me. I'm feeling like that.
You felt like you belong.
Yeah, I belong. Something like that, you know. Jessica, when I did not hear Jessica, I spray me some on a costume. Spray me some. What do you have to do here? Also, you know, when I see it, I'm not. My English not perfect, but I pray to God, please, you know. That time I really really need jobs because my mom passed away. My mom passed away this month, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. July, August, I started applying jobs here. July, something, I think I come interview there. If you think this job would be really good for me, belong to me, please let me get, let me have this job, you know. And a lot of my friends talking about me in a downstairs, who you interview with there when you started coming, I interview with Claire and
Sandy.
Claire and Sandy. Claire is a lot of people. Afraid.
She's intimidating.
Yes. Everybody afraid her, don't want to talk to her, like scared, something like that. I don't know, but I talk to her. She's sweet at me. I talk everybody later, you know. And she's asked me a question. I talk everything, like, what is their name? Maybe 1 week later, they call me back. Hello, are you interested coming back to work here? You free, something like that. Huh? I'm like, it's really, it's my dream, you know. When I look everywhere, walk there, I go check it out. I really like it, you know. And I say, yeah, why they study coming this day, something like that. And I call Karen Jessica. I got a new job. I got a really job, you know. Awesome. So, I'm so happy, you know. I really need jobs. I really need jobs full time, you know. For my family also, I need to help my sister, my mom, daughter, still little. 2, 3, they're still in the camp.
So what are you, they're still in the camp?
Her sister is going to school.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so why don't you explain what you get to do for Noonday? Because all the women listening to this are the ambassadors.
Okay. And when later I started working, everybody's so warm here, you know. Even I'm not, my English not good. They inspired to me. They talk to me like, do like the hell, I do like the, you know. Mm-hmm. It's fun, you know.
What do you do downstairs? Tell me, I don't know what you do downstairs.
Right now I'm packing also and training to pull right now.
Hella, you get to pack the orders that customers make, but you're like you said, you're also training others to do
it. I'm training to do right now.
So you're in kind of a leadership role.
Yeah.
So you get to package up everything that goes out to our customers, and it's a huge part of the Noonday experience is how everything gets packaged in a timely manner, in a beautiful manner, and then gets sent out.
The packing, we packing, and told to my partner, you know, our current people downstairs, and said, this is all the necklace is so special. why is space so many ways? This is the women like us, they need jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, they made it what they have. They made it also. We need jobs too, you know. Mm-hmm. We're packing, you know. Mm-hmm. We're packing too. It's helping us too. Mm-hmm. We got a jobs. Mm-hmm. You know? Also, the people bought those stuff. They're helping people too, you know, like mm-hmm. It's everything go together, like mm-hmm. imported stuff, you know.
So it's like the supply chain of people helping people, right? Yeah. So the artisan who makes it brings it to you, and you are the person that packs it, and you need the job, and the artisan needs a job.
Yes.
And then they send it to ambassadors who are also able to have a job, but help people like you. And
Help each other, something like that, you know. It's kind of like that.
And how does that, so one of the things, so my co-founder, when we started Hill Tribers, is a woman named Karen George, and she and Hella and I have been really good friends, and Karen is the person that trained Hella in packing. So Hella was the shipping department for Hill Tribers for a few Christmas seasons, right? Yeah. And one of the things that, we went to Karen's house this past week, and we were just talking about some different things. And one of the things that Hella, I think, has explained a few different times is when you hear Jessica and the other artisans talk about what it means to be a woman who is empowered, or a woman who is able to do that, and how much that is meant to you. So talk to us a little bit about
that. That's why I thought I want to talk about it. You know, it's maybe it's more strong like that too. And our jobs, I told my friend, it's not like other jobs. You know, it really, really important, also really good. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain, you know, it's,
it feels meaningful.
Something like that. When I first started more power myself, believe more myself, it is the, we had all hand meeting for the first time.
Okay, so our all hands meeting is when, I remember this, and it's that all hands is when we have the entire company, we go off site, and we kind of talk about the quarter and the year and our goals and all of that.
Made me cry that time. I'm crying by myself only when, but you turn on the video about the woman, something, I don't know. Woman can do everything or something.
It was the video that we showed at Shine Conference a couple years ago about the power of a woman.
Right.
This video. You have mentioned this video.
Yes. I started like, my hands start. What are you talking about?
Goosebumps.
Right now. I started goosebumps.
You got goosebumps just now.
I'm like, wow, you know, it's made me stronger, you know. I'm like, wow, everybody, not only me, you know, everyone in the talk about that women in India, something like that. Oh, they can do it, you know. Even me, why I cannot do it, you know. Even I'm woman, I'm okay, you know. Mm-hmm. I can do it, you know. Mm. Like, I will make my life better, something like that, you know.
Well, and so culturally, and this is one of the things I think is fair to say, women in Korean culture, baby girls.
Yeah, it's so different. American women and and the Korean women is so different, you know.
So like, you've been told you were not worthy most of your life. So to hear that you were powerful.
Yeah, it is.
And then to be powerful.
Yeah.
Well, tell them about your husband. I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I was just going to say that listening to this, it's just so special, isn't it? It's like, it feels magical to think that, like, you were in a refugee camp not that long ago.
Yeah.
And now, you know, fast forward a few years later, you're empowering other women around the world through your job. And you used to dream that, you know, I can empower my kids and my husband, but, like, that's as far as I can dream. And now you're touching pieces that, like, other women that are empowered
all over the world.
I'm tearing up. That's so incredible, Hella.
And tell them what Nukwi said when you bought a house. this is her husband.
We did never drink it, you know. It's I talk so many times, and we were where we are media, new day changed a lot of my life. Mm-hmm. Not only my family life, not only my life, my family life, everyone life, you know. Because I got a good job, good communicate. Also, our family life changed too.
Everything is better.
Yeah. I mean, my husband or my kid, everything is a lot of change.
And your husband said, when you bought the house, this is because of you.
You were able to do this because of you.
That's
awesome. He's right now. My husband talked about a lot, you know, because us, my wife, you know, we are thanks for you a lot, you know, because of you. Everything where in the house right now, you're like, Maybe before he didn't think about it. Right now, he know more there. But because everybody asked my wife, I'm said no. We are both, you know, also God, you know, changing a lot for us, you know. And he said, because of you, you know, for also for children, for house, for everything, because of you, you got a good job. Also, you change our family, like family rule, everything, you know.
Because of you, you changed their family life. Because you got this job at Noonday.
Yeah. And that has to be a cultural shift, doesn't it, for your husband to say that, just, you know, from your culture.
Yeah, it is. Like our current woman, like before, you like, even you are married, some women, they working outside, but mostly they did not work outside. Also, you had to be like, stay home, stay mom, take care of your kid, take care of your husband, take care of the house. That is, you know, you will be know that, you know, like no power, something like that, you know. But right now I'm not like that.
and then you have three other friends now working with you, other Korean women. Have you seen their job also help transform their lives?
Oh, they talk about a lot too. We are so blessed. We got a good job. Thank you, Hella, for bringing us here. I said, no, thanks for the people studying, make this job, you know, like studying, get you study, get this job. Also, thanks God, you know, like when they interested, ask me the job. I'm like, okay, you really need jobs. Why? They talk me about their family problem. Their family problem, this also, okay, if you really love this job, you're gonna have that, you're gonna get this job, you know. You really love this job, you know, they say, oh, I'm gonna go try, you know, I'm really love, you know, even you're not speak English really good, you know, you do it your heart, you do it when you can. You can do it.
I'm you're like, a hard worker.
Yeah. Well, and they are hard. Yeah, I mean, they're fast.
Say anything because they know it. They know it. Because this job helping their family.
Yeah.
This job change their life. They know it. I don't have to say they know it. They're like, okay, this is really good job, you know. This change our family life. We can do it, something like that. And when we're busy days, and then, oh, we did not make ghost dinner. Okay, we can do it, you know?
Yeah, it means so much more.
Yeah, it's more powerful, more energy, even myself, like that too, you know? Even sometimes, I feeling sick, sometimes, you know, I can't do it a lot of stuff. I'm feeling so bad myself. I'm like that, you know, we talk each other. I'm sorry, Jessica. We like that, you know? I'm sorry, Jessica, today I'm slow, something like we talk each other.
Sorry, Jessica.
Yeah, sorry for all owners, something like that. Today I'm slow, you know.
We all have our slow days, trust me.
I'm going to try double packing, something like that. It's our story we talk about.
Wait,
our
joke.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, we talk about
that. And one of the things I want to say too, I'm somebody that can be pretty cynical, right? And I tend to ask a lot of questions.
Yeah, sure.
I have seen Noonday for however many years start from an idea to the place where I'm sitting beside a friend. I'm not going to cry. Sitting beside a friend who bought a house. I'm not sure I could have imagined that the helipot I knew 8 years ago would have been in this place today.
Yes.
And and I'm not paid by Noonday to say these things. I am just a friend. Yes. But the difference that Noonday has made in the life of Helipa and of Ruby and of Popey and
who's Popey gonna buy a house too?
Popey's buying a house.
She's looking for right now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like this is the kind of stuff that changes generations. It does. Right? This is not just for their family. Their kids are going to good schools. Their kids are going to go to college. This family is going to make it in this country because they've had one good job, and it makes an enormous difference. And it makes a difference because it's the women who are able to do it. It changes. Helipa's daughters are watching her.
Changes
and going,
the culture.
Yeah, I can do this. And watching, and her kids are smart. And for these smart girls to know that they can do anything, it's a game changer for the rest of their lives. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
Well, it's crazy to think, you know, the prayer that I found today and how I was like, I just started Noonday on a whim, you know, no idea of what it would turn into. You started Hill Tribers. You just started going and volunteering with these refugees, not knowing. You used to not be able to dream outside of your own home and an impact you could make on the world, you know? And yet, look what God's done, you know? And there is something about the power of a dream. You know, I'm actually not an idealist either, Jessica Godot. You know, I am a little more on the cynical side too. I think sometimes people can look at a person who's a founder and think, oh, they're the visionary dreamer. I'm a dreamer, but I'm all about, but it's got to be a possible dream, you know? And so, yeah, I'm a bit of a pragmatist. And so it was just, this conversation was so good for me because we do need to dream, and we do need to think about the things that we don't think that can be possible and work towards those things because you'd never know.
Right.
No. And look at the community that you get to build. So my friend Karen that started this with me has been – we've become friends in a way that's totally different from what we would have been had we not started a nonprofit together. And Helipa and I are equal friends, right? She is one of my really good – like I call her to see how she's doing, not because
– You need helping, each other.
But because we love each other, right? Yeah. And that's the thing I love for your ambassadors is they get a chance to connect with like-minded women in a variety of places around the world. So artisans and ambassadors and founders. And I know a lot of your ambassadors are my friends, and it's neat to see how on fire they are to make a difference in the world. And it's that kind of community of women. I think a community of women can change things in ways that I'm not sure any of us can really even – like the sky's the limit for what
it
we
is
can
true.
Do,
right? When women come together, we can change the world.
And something I see about you, Hella, is, you know – we've talked about how empowered you are and all of these amazing things that you've accomplished.
Thank you.
And because you're this empowered woman, I see you building a community with our staff downstairs. you are seriously one of the most spirited, light-filled people.
You are so spirited.
And everyone knows who you are. And
they helped set the culture for the whole.
That's the perfect way
I'm
to
not
put
surprised
it.
By this at all. She is effervescent. That was our word for her. It's just bubbly, like just full of. I mean, I don't know how Helipa has as much energy and as much joy as she has. The things that I know about her life and her past, she has every reason to be angry at the world. And yet she has brought such joy and such faith. She has brought me out of some really dark periods because her faith in the middle of her darkness has given me hope, right? And that's what she brings to the people around her is just this joy. And I'm so glad she's in a place where people don't look at her and go, oh, yeah, you know. Yeah. But people go, Hella, she is this woman who does these things.
People gravitate towards you.
Thank you so much for all the hard work.
No, thank you. You too for Tundi to come talk today and get good jobs. Thank you so much.
It's been fun.
A lot of good and new day, not only helping me, just helping me, my family style, you know, even paperwork, I don't understand everything. All my friends downstairs, normally Gwen, you know, they're really helpful, you know, they give me really warm, you know, they show me love, you know, everything. Like the new day, I'm talking to the media one time, I said, new day make with love. Everything, not jewelry, everything come powerful, come with love, you know. They really helping us too, you know, when we do not understand English. They did not show us like, oh, you don't know nothing, not like that. They're like, you can do it, you know, you know that, you know, something.
You can learn
something like that. It's very helpful, it's changed my life.
Well, I want to thank Jessica Noonday. And the ambassadors, too. This is really meaningful work. And I know a lot of ambassadors work really hard.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that those of us who have seen Noonday and are kind of coming alongside, we see the fruits of this labor. And I'm really excited that you guys get to understand what this means. Your ambassadors selling products means that Helipa and Etana and Tuti and Thiutwe and Nukwi have a good life and that her kids go to school.
Yeah, I mean, thank you so much.
This means a lot to those of us who love each other.
It is
right?
a lot for me, so, yeah. It's really, really changed my life. I talk every meeting, new day changed my life. New day changed my life.
Well, thank you.
Hold the world know that.
The whole world to know.
My life really, really changed.
More of the world will know it. Thanks to our ambassadors who are listening. Yeah. They
Thank
are
you
spreading
so much.
The word.
Appreciate it, everyone.